Thank you very much for having me at the Lakes again this Sunday. I'm really glad to be here, and to all the mums out there, happy Mother's Day. My little boy, my little nine-month-old, did well this year. He went out and he bought his mummy a nice photo frame, and he even went out and got the photo developed as well. Very well. He's well above average, that little boy. And thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here. My name is Baden. I work for Evangelism Ministries down in Sydney, and I have the opportunity to tell people each week about Jesus, who is my Lord and Saviour, and I hope tonight he will become yours as well. I'm going to speak for a few moments on this passage, and then I'll give each person a chance to respond tonight to what God is saying to us as he speaks to us through his word. But I'm going to pray right now that God will help me to speak clearly and for each of us to listen as well. Let's pray as we approach God's word. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to bring you glory and honour and praise tonight by living with obedient lives. We thank you that you have spoken to us through your word. You have spoken to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us tonight to hear his call, to follow him. Help us to understand what it means to live as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what you would say is the secret to a life worth living. What would you say is the secret to a life worth living? I did a Google search on that the other day. I typed in the words successful living, and Google came back to me with all kinds of sites and ideas. Lifestyle sites, business sites, leisure sites. One site even claimed that it could help me to master holographic time to gain extreme wealth and peace. Who knows what holographic time is? Well, I didn't either. I had no idea what that was. One site came back with a video link, a pop-up box, and it said, "Welcome to Secrets of Success, the program about people of strength, people of persistence, people who are successful in business." Google came back to me with, and I kid you not, 126 million references to chase down. 126 million references to chase down. Well, I had to go and bath my little boy, and I wanted an answer before I was 60, so I figured I didn't have time. But in the marketplace of ideas and philosophies on life out there, it's hard to chart a course, isn't it? It's hard to chart a course, hard to find the secret of a life that is truly worth living. But my guess is that we're all searching for that special something, that winning formula that will help us get ahead, help us find ourselves, help us become someone in our own particular circles. So who do we look to? Who do we look to? Do we look to the late Kerry Packer for a lesson on impeccable timing and canny deal-making in business sense? Do we look to the Shane Warnes or the Ian Thorpes of our world? Well, actually, we don't look to Shane Warne this week, do we? Apparently, Warney's got himself in trouble again. Do we look to those sorts of characters for how to carve out a slice of fame? Do we look to Princess Mary and Prince Frederick for the happily ever after formula? Perhaps we look to Anthony Robbins, the self-help guru, Mr. Winning Formula himself. His winning formula, it seems, is to help each of us find our winning formula. Or if we ask Shannon Knoll, the Aussie singer, Shannon, who knows just how hard it can get, I'm sure Shannon would say the answer is, baby, you've just got to lift. You have just got to lift. Who do we look to find the secret of a life that's worth living? Do the stars of our modern culture and our business gurus have all the answers? Well, I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think we do often think they've got the answers, don't we? We do often think they've got the answers. But our certainty is shaken when even they get old and die, or when their careers taper away, or when we find that their lives weren't all we thought they were cracked up to be. So who do we look to, and what is the winning formula? Well, in the passage that was read for us just a few moments ago, Jesus tells us exactly who to look to. And it's not to the gossip columns or to the airwaves or even to the hallowed wisdom of the Financial Review. No, we are to look to Jesus Christ. Jesus promises that he is the key. He is the secret to a life worth living. In this part of the Bible tonight, we eavesdrop on a conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples. And he looks at them and says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Hear that again. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You see, in the midst of our world of self-help and of finding ourselves, Jesus is saying that life is about knowing and following him. There is the winning formula. And you've got to admit, it's a little shocking and a little strange to our ears, isn't it? But it's not the first time that Jesus has made such a claim. Elsewhere in the Bible, you'll hear Jesus say, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to God the Father but through me." And again he says, "I am the gateway to eternal life and peace. The gate is narrow, but enter through that narrow gate." Enter through that narrow gate. Real life, eternal life, is about following me, Jesus says. And that means shifting the center of gravity in your life away from yourself and shifting it toward God. There is the winning formula. There is the winning formula. Now, maybe you've come here for the first time tonight. A friend has dragged you along, and you're listening to this, and you're thinking to yourself, "Well, I've heard enough already." I mean, how could that possibly be the answer? Denying myself is the very opposite of everything I've ever been taught or have believed. And it is the very opposite, isn't it? It is the very opposite. Just this week, I was watching an ABC cartoon with my little boy. He's 9 months old. He just loves the pretty lights and the colours. And I was shocked. At the end of this cartoon, on came the little ditty, you know, the closing song on some of those cartoons. And I was shocked to hear that the words went like this. Cute little kid song, but it was saying this: "March to the beat of your own drum, follow your heart. You can't go wrong. March to the beat of your own drum, follow your heart. You can't go wrong." There's the mantra of our society, isn't it? March to the beat of your own drum. Follow your heart. You can't go wrong. Live and let live. Each to his own, we say. Find your truth. Follow your heart. But Jesus says, no. Deny yourself. Come follow me. And even though it might sound like strange wisdom to our ears, Jesus promises it is true wisdom. And he goes on, in fact, to give three compelling reasons why this is truly the secret to a life worth living. Three compelling reasons why this is truly the secret to a life worth living. Can you see the passage in front of you? Has everybody got a copy of that passage? Let's have a look at these reasons that Jesus gives. And the first is there in verse 35. "Take up your cross and follow me," Jesus says, "for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Hear that again. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Now, this statement of Jesus is true at two levels, if you think about it. It is true at the level, firstly, of the everyday, if you think about it. Follow your own desires, live to please yourself alone, and it will destroy you. Follow greed to its end, for example, and it'll destroy you. It'll never satisfy. Follow the desires of your eyes in whatever it be, in pornography or casual sex or whatever it be. Follow the desires of your eyes to their end, and it'll destroy you now and possibly your marriage in the future. But this is a winning formula at a far more profound level as well, isn't it? Because it's not just about securing life here and now, but about securing eternal life. Not just about securing life here and now, but about securing your eternal life. That is what Jesus is really on about. You see, the very fact that our pleasing of ourselves begins to unravel us should tell us that we were never meant to live that way, shouldn't it? It should tell us that we were never meant to live that way. No, we were meant to live for God. And Jesus is saying, whoever wants to save their life by continuing to live for themselves will be lost. Your sin will cut you off from God. But whoever should turn back to God and trust and follow me will be saved in eternity, because I have come to save, Jesus says. There's the first reason he gives that we should follow him. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life to me, Jesus says, will find it, will save it. There is the first reason. But there's more. Look at verse 36 and the second reason Jesus gives. Follow me, he says, verse 36, for what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Hear that again. For what good is it, Jesus says, for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, if you want to understand the winning formula, Jesus says, then understand true value. Understand true value. In our world where winning formulas are all about accumulating wealth and status and accolades, Jesus says, no, your soul, your very self is so precious. God's chief delight in creation is you. And what will it profit you if you gain all the money and all the power and all the fame and all the accolades and status that this world can give you? If you do not turn back to God and trust and follow me, Jesus says, well, you will lose yourself. You will lose yourself. You will profit nothing. And deep down, I think we all know this is true, don't we? I think we all know this is true. Even if we forget or fool ourselves for a little while, there is nothing like staring into the face of death and eternity to remind us again of what is truly important. I was watching the biography a few months back, in fact, of the life of Kerry Packer. Anybody see that biography? They called it The Big Fella. Kerry Packer, The Big Fella. And it was a fascinating insight into the life of an Australian legend, if nothing else. But one of the things that really struck me about that show was a brief moment of honesty with Kerry's son, James. James was reflecting on the day that his father died in their Sydney home, and James had this to say. He said, you know, it was eerie, because after he died, to be there with him, to be there with a body that was so different to his character in life, which was so alive, well, it made me think, James said, it made me think that there must be something more. There must be something more. That's stunning, isn't it? That is a stunning admission. James got it. In the face of death, James seemed to be grasping at the truth that there must be something more to this life than simply amassing wealth and accumulating status and accolades and gaining the world and becoming nothing more than a cold, lifeless body. And Jesus says, yes, there is something more. Your soul, your very self is so precious, but it can be lost. And shortly after James made that revelation about eternity, he went on to offer this hope for his father's situation beyond the grave. And James said this. He said, so I'm taking the positive in all of this, and I'm hoping and I'm wishing that he's up there looking down on us. How sad to be so rich in life, to have gained the world, and yet to have so little certainty for eternity, for the age to come. How pathetic. How powerless. Jesus says to us tonight, life beyond the grave is sure, and to know salvation and eternal life with God is worth losing everything in this age in order to get. So follow me, Jesus says, and know that your soul will not be forfeited in the age to come. There is the second reason we must follow Jesus. And that leads us directly to Jesus' third statement. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. Look at verse 38. For if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. That is, if you want to have certainty of salvation on the last day, Jesus says, then acknowledge me. Follow me, and I will acknowledge you before my Father. Lift your eyes to eternity, Jesus says, and understand that you will meet me, in fact, in judgment as either friend or foe. And the Bible talks a lot about this day. It says that there is a day coming when each of us will stand before Jesus, in fact. And we will all give an account for every thoughtless word and every thoughtless action. I wonder how you feel about the prospect of a day like that. I wonder how you feel about the prospect of a day like that. It certainly gives us hope, doesn't it? It certainly gives us hope that justice will be done and will be seen to be done for our world. But you know, not everybody thinks this way. 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 Thinks this way.
This is why.